Everybody, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of the No Excuses Podcast, bringing real talk to disability with no excuses. Chad, Andy, and Brett, ready to rant once again. How's it going, boys?
Good, man.
Friday of a long weekend.
What's that? Sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, Friday of a long weekend, man. Can't complain.
It is. We are taping tonight on June 28th, the Friday before Canada Day long weekend. So wishing you and your family a glorious Canada Day long weekend. Hoping that you are spending it with the ones that matter the most and getting up to no good. How's the week been, gentlemen?
My week's probably not been as good as your week. I mean, you're done.
Yeah, there's that. If you have been listening for a little while to our podcast, and again, thank you for your support, and you can go back and check out all the old episodes. If you have been listening, you know that I am a full-time secondary music teacher. So today, I'm not going to lie, was a glorious day. It's the last day of our school year. Time to spend time with my own kids instead of other people's kids. And while I love my students dearly, it is amazing to have these summer months, but that's about all I want to say. I don't want to come across as one of those guys who is bragging about his couple months off. I'm actually headed right back to work, not next week, but the week after for summer camps for the next couple of weeks. I like to think that I contribute during the summer as well, but yeah, it's probably not unfair to say that your today was not as exciting as my today, being that it was last day of work for a little while.
The school board offers summer camps?
It's not. Our camp is not run. Well, it's been sanctioned by the school board because they know what happens. But we run a summer camp out of our music room. The guys that I work with, my old teacher, our department head, and his wife, and myself run a camp called Rock Camp out of our music room. We do a week in July, and we do another week in August for students from grade 1 to grade 8, where we basically teach them the beginnings of music, and hopefully the idea behind it is that it feeds into the program once they're old enough to come to the school. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Cool. I found out something. I found out something interesting that I did not know previously to finding it out. That's usually what the statement "I found something out" means.
There it is. Do tell, buddy. Do tell.
A friend of mine works for the school board, I think the Halton board, and I was talking to her, and I was like, how was your, this was a couple weeks ago, and I said, how are things going, whatever, and she's like, oh, it's just been crazy at work, teachers are getting their report cards in, they're due at the end of the week, or whatever it is, and I said, but there's still 2 weeks left in the school year. And she said, yeah, exactly. So you were an elementary teacher. So
yeah, it's a bit of a different world there. In secondary, we of course have our exams. So you finish the content of your course. In my experience, in my short experience in secondary, I just wrapped my second year as a high school teacher. It takes, the whole semester, and you're literally down to the wire sort of covering content, and then you wrap your course, and then you write your final exam, and then that's it. Coming from the elementary world, it's not inaccurate of your friend at all to say that. There are situations in the elementary panel where you have to have your marks in and your report cards complete, like at least having your marks in 2 weeks before class is over, and then having your report cards done probably about a week before class is over. So it ends up being a situation, and I say this with all due respect, where you have a week left of class and almost, I don't want to say nothing to do, but there's a lot of situations where you have nothing left to teach, right? So you end up sort of, it just becomes classroom management at that point, where you're just trying to keep the kids at bay for the last week or so as they count down the days to summer vacation. It's a bit of a strange world where you have a week to fill, and what am I going to do, you know?
So is that just to keep everything consistent, like lined up, like high school kids end with elementary kids?
I think the big reason for the ministry will sort of set where they need the final assessments to be done, and the school boards will do that as well in terms of when they need the marks in by, and that gets communicated to the staff by their principals, and you got to get your marks in on time, and there's sort of an absolute last minute to do that. I think it has to do with how long it takes to sort of prepare the report cards, get them out. And at the elementary level as well, which is different from the secondary, the report cards have to go home and then get signed by the parents and come back to the school, right? So, and not that they don't have to in secondary, but there's sort of more autonomy at the secondary level where we trust the kids to sort of police themselves in terms of their own marks. And we know their parents are going to see them, but it's less make sure your mom and dad see these marks kind of thing. You know what I mean?
I guess my issue is, so if your marks are in, that means school is done, yeah, right? At least in, so why an extra 2-week buffer? Like, that doesn't happen anywhere else. You know?
No, I mean? You're right. It's like I said, it's a weird thing. It sort of even extends now to grade 8 students who I remember sitting a while back in my teaching journey. I was just student teaching, so this would have been, my goodness, 2011, like years ago. I'm sitting at an elementary school with some colleagues. I'm sitting with the 8th grade teachers who happened to be the only like 2 or 3 other males on staff. We just sit together and have lunch, and they were just looking bummed out. And I was like, "What's going on, boys?" And this was like, you know, March. I'm like, what's got us down? I wasn't in a grade 8 class at the time. I was in, I think, grade 6. But I used to sit with the other guys. And I said, "What's going on?" They said, "Today's option sheet day." And I said, "Okay, what's that mean?" They said, "Today's the day where the grade 8 stop caring, because they fill out their option sheets. They figure out that they're going to high school. And so the rest of the elementary year is just really tough on us as teachers to keep them engaged, because they check out starting then. Right? They're just like, "Okay, well, I'm going to high school anyway." They've wised up to the fact that they can't fail. They're going to get pushed through to grade 9 anyway. So it's a weird sort of situation where we're almost setting ourselves up for this environment. It's strange.
Bretzky, you have some questions that kind of line up with this discussion, sort of.
Yeah, over the last few weeks, I've realized that the two of you have really been on top of content, and so I've been thinking about it. I know that, well, Chad, we've just discussed that you're a teacher, and you're both young fathers, although Chad, your oldest, seems to be like in his 40s. But
He is wise and mature beyond his years, yes.
Chad, for your students that are new to you, how do they react when they find out that you're in a chair?
Wow. It's interesting. I have no doubt, and I've taught a lot of grades. I came from an elementary background. Teaching as little as JK. So I can say with confidence, I just taught grade 12s for the first time in my career. So I could say with confidence now that I've literally taught every grade from JK to grade 12. And it depends on the age of the student, I suppose, in terms of their reaction. My elementary school students were fascinated by the fact that I used a wheelchair, because I suppose it's maybe because you don't see teachers with wheelchairs or visible disabilities very often. And so it became a huge thing for them. I would literally have conversations, not so much with them, although a lot of them would ask, especially when they're younger. They would say things like, you know, why are it, like, what's wrong, or what happened, or, you know. And I used to joke all the time that when I was supply teaching, that if I was never left plans by the classroom teacher in terms of where they were and what to do, that I could talk about my wheelchair and just answer questions about my chair for like 6 hours, and the kids would be happy. In high school, they don't seem to ask the questions as much. I think they're probably scared to ask until they get to know me. I always break the ice with my sense of humor right away, address the elephant in the room, I have, you know, different sort of funny ways of doing that. Right away, the kids learn that I have a sense of humor, and they sort of learn that they can make those jokes with me. I don't suppose that it is certainly not normal for them. It's got to be weird or different for them to see that they're that the teacher is in a wheelchair. I've had people suggest that in the past, and probably they were just joking, but maybe not, maybe just to see the reaction, that I should intentionally on the first day of school get there before everybody else and then just sit at my desk under, like, with my chair under my desk so they can't even see the chair, and then just sort of wheel out as I introduce myself and watch the reaction. But I think the nature of, especially where I am now in the high school environment, we do so much around our feeder schools and grade eights. And at my school, we do so many performances in the music program for elementary schools and stuff. A lot of the kids know me right away before they even come in. And they probably identify me as the teacher with the wheelchair. And I'm okay with that. If that's, obviously I want them to get to know me as Mr. Pilo and you know, be more than just that. But you know, it's a part of who I am. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's not all I am, but it's a significant part of who I am. I usually address it with humor, you know, talk about how I'm half their size, or, you know, that and in the high school environment, I can get away with, you know, saying things like, I know how to run you over and make it look like an accident. So, you know, don't get on my bad side. And generally they laugh at stuff like that. But I imagine it's probably more of a talking point for them and their parents. I've learned that the communication breakdown between students and their parents is more evident at the high school level. A lot of the kids don't even tell their folks, you know, what's going on at school. And I've learned that as a parent, as my kids get older, how was school today? Good. You know, and that's about all they want to say. But I've had parents, and this is, it's rad because as we've talked about on the podcast before, you don't set out to be inspiring. That's not a life goal of mine, right? But it's humbling and cool to hear things like my son or daughter think that you're inspiring because they see the challenges that you face, and that they're not challenges. They're just, you just do you. And that's what I try and do. Usually that kind of stuff comes out at parent teacher interviews. Cause I mean, you know, it's not like I go around my classroom going, how inspiring am I, kids? It's not exactly my vibe.
But, as everybody, that listens to the podcast, or at least most people know, that listen to the podcast, you're both dads, and, I'm an uncle, and, the fact that, the three of us live with disabilities, how do kids react to you, either the general public or nieces and nephews or your kids when they were growing up? How did they react to you? Did you get questions like, what's wrong with you? Or why is daddy in a wheelchair? Why is Uncle Chad in a wheelchair? Why is Uncle Andy in a wheelchair?
You want to go first here, Andy? You were mentioning, I think, as early as last week's episode about how Maya is relentless with you and just expects, you know, daddy to do everything. So you want to chime in here first?
Yeah, she definitely picks up that things are different, but she doesn't necessarily, like you said, she doesn't expect me not to do things. Like when we go on, when we go on outings, I have to get my chair. So she calls that my bike.
She calls your chair your bike? That's really cute.
Yeah. And so that leads to questions like, why can't she bring her bike? One of the hardest things to have to deal with as a dad is if she's crying and your instinct is to, like, pick her up, right? Like, straight out. But if I'm standing, I can't do that. So I have to, like, sit down. And, like, sometimes she'll be reaching and I don't have a place to sit, right? And that sucks because that's an instance where she gets that dad can't do this, right?
So, yeah.
But I will say, just recently, actually. I think she stubbed her toe or something. And I said, okay, let me come and help you. And she pulled a chair out. I was like, Dad, sit down.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that stuff, man. That's so cool.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Brett, to answer your question, my sister's got older kids right around probably the ages of Chad. Maybe Chad's kids, not Chad.
Your sister has 36-year-old kids? That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a little scary considering she's 40. So,
no judgment here.
But... Yeah, I don't know what kind of discussions they had with their parents, but it's never really come up as to why is Uncle Andy different. There's been a lot of discussion about why is Uncle Andy such a jerk, but
that's a lifestyle choice, kids. Yeah.
No, I think like anything we talk about, you just find different ways to do things, right? Like, yeah. So. Like, I will, yeah. I don't know if that answers your question.
That's cool, man. Those heartbreaking, I'm just going to sort of jump in and give my perspective. Those heartbreaking moments that Andy spoke to are so gut-wrenching. I've been on the receiving end of a couple of those. Super rad, Andy, that my would pull a chair over and at least just process that daddy needs to sit down to help me. So I'll bring over a chair so that he can have, that's so cute.
What about you, Brett? You said you have a niece and a nephew, right?
Yeah. Thomas is six, and Charlotte's four. And, I haven't really got, the inquisitive questions yet, maybe off and on, but I don't know. They're two pretty chill kids, so I mean, if they want to know, they can come and ask me. I have no problems explaining anything to them. But
Go ahead, Brent.
I mean, there are times when. When they've come over, because I live here with mom, right? So there are times when they've come and visited here, and I've not had a good day, so I'm laying in bed, whatever. But I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with how their mom and dad have raised them. I'm sure if they've had any questions that my brother and my sister-in-law have answered them. And maybe they haven't had questions and maybe they're just waiting for the right time.
Yeah, I was just, I didn't mean to cut you off there earlier. That was just where my head was at. I wonder if you haven't heard the questions because they've been answered already by their parents. And Andy, you spoke about your sister with your two nephews and Brett, your brother with your niece and your nephew. I wonder, because they know you so well, have they already addressed it? And maybe the questions have already been answered in a way that is, you know, it's up to the parents, as Andy was saying. I don't know what the, you know, how they have answered the question, but I wonder if it's already been talked about. I think that, Brett, you're an open book and we would love those questions and love to hear those type of questions from our loved ones. I love speaking to children, regardless of age, about my situation. I love when kids ask questions. And in my experience, the kids that will ask the questions, it comes from a great place. It comes from a place of innocence where maybe their parents don't know how to answer those questions. And it's like, ask me, you know, and I'd love to answer that. So I wonder, in the case of your siblings, if it's just sort of all been covered because they grew up with you and they know all about you and they can answer the questions for their children in that way. Who knows?
My sister-in-law has an uncle and we're not 100% sure. Or I mean, I guess I'm not 100% sure. He might be schizophrenic or he might have a little bit of either Asperger's or autism or something. So my sister-in-law has definitely grown up around it. Obviously, Tanner has grown up with it. So I'm fairly certain that they've been competent enough to answer those questions if the kids have had them.
My family dynamic is no different than an able-bodied family dynamic, right? It's just way before Maya, Joe and Isaac, we would just all, like, just always do stuff together. And I'm sure there were questions, but I was always just Uncle Andy, or they don't even call me Uncle, it's just Andy, right?
No.
Like, I have to pick him up from hockey practice.
Do they play hockey like their Uncle Andy?
No, they, Nathan, this is a true story. Before the younger one was playing, we were watching Isaac, the older one. And so, Chad, you know Joe a little bit, but
yep.
He's a fireball.
That is an accurate way to describe Josiah, yep.
So we were watching his brother play hockey, and in the 30 seconds I spent with him at the rink, he was sitting beside me, and he said, my dad said he really likes the way you play hockey, and we should play hockey like you, minus all the penalties and fights. Yeah, I don't know if they've ever actually seen me play, but
what their dad has, man, and then kids trust what their fathers say for better or worse.
So
that's awesome. So your niece and nephew are how old, Brett? Again, you said it, but I forgot.
4 and 6.
Okay, so nothing's. Yeah, that's pretty young. I mean, I don't think they would ask those type of questions, and maybe if they did, chances are they, like I said, they've probably already been answered by your brother Tanner, who very obviously grew up with you and knows a thing or two about your life, right? And I think the part of the struggle, maybe not struggle, but the challenge as parents is to answer the questions in an age-appropriate way, right? That doesn't sugarcoat things, but helps the kids understand in whatever capacity they're able to understand.
I think so.
And again, I think it's done in a way that is not, and if it's not, then that's up. It's up to us to, you know, guys like us to change it. It's not done, and certainly from a sibling perspective, it wouldn't be. I hope not be done in a way of you know, this is what they've had to deal with. So you know, hopefully, it's not done in out of a sense of pity, but out of a sense of no, that they are just as capable as you and I. It's just things look different, right? It takes longer or slightly more challenging or however they word it, but it doesn't mean that Uncle Brett can't or Andy can't, since Andy doesn't get the uncle title much, or, you know, that Daddy can't in my case, or whatever it is, right? It doesn't ever have to mean that. It just means that it has to maybe look different or take longer, or, you know, I mean, we want to be real about the limitations that we have, but also we want to smash them, you know? Brett, here's a question, okay? For me as a dad, to you as an uncle, have you ever accidentally run over your niece or nephew?
No, but Charlotte, who is 4, still loves trying to push me everywhere.
And is that a talking point with her? Like, you know, careful, don't touch Uncle Brett's wheels or whatever, because you don't want. And I'm going to bare my soul for the internet. I'm going to be brutally honest and tell you that I have run over each of my 3 children, not on purpose at all. Yeah, but at some point during my fatherhood, I have accidentally clipped at least the big toes of my own kids. And you want to talk about heartbreaking? Holy smoke.
You talk about this, but there's so many variables involved in were they hurt? Because were you going fast? Was it at a snail's pace? Like, if you were going fast, you're a complete jerk.
Yeah, right. No, I wasn't speeding through my house trying to hit my kids. In each of the cases of my three children, it was a quick accidental turn where sort of I didn't know they were there, or their big toe was closer than I thought it was. Or, you know, it's not like I'm maliciously going 10 points for the older one, you know, just going for them as fast as I can.
That'd be a better story, though.
Yeah, it would make a better story. I should just lie next time. You don't use your chair as much, Andy. You only use yours on sort of long outings or adventures. I don't suppose you've ever run over Maya with, and maybe you don't want to say it, you know, in case Amanda's listening to the podcast, but I don't suppose you've run over your daughter yet. It'll happen. I'm going to tell you, the more you use your chair, it's going to happen.
I have yet to do so.
When you do, I would like not even a text message. I want a phone call. Say it happened today.
Yeah. I can probably guarantee that won't happen, but okay.
Damn it, make me feel better about myself. All right, thanks again for listening, everybody. We've covered a lot of ground tonight, and we just appreciate you listening to us rant, joke, laugh, talk, insult each other, as we have been known to do. We thank you again for your time. Once again, you can go back, check out all the old episodes of the podcast on any podcasting device, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, any others, Google Podcasts. Of course, these other ones that I'm forgetting, but you can check it out. You can find it in the same place that you found this one. You have been listening, and we deeply appreciate it, to another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. Andy, Brett, thanks again, man. You guys, I think hopefully we are at the very least bringing awareness to some just real stuff by just being who we are. So thanks again for Andy. Really, thanks to you. I haven't said this publicly too much. This guy's still your baby. This was your idea, and I appreciate you having us along for the ride.
Well, it's been fun. Let's keep it going.
Yes, indeed, Brett. Thanks again. You are no longer a friend of the show, man. You're with us for better or worse. You're stuck now. Thanks again, man.
Guys, have a safe weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Stay classy, San Diego.